One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Lord is merciful to all, but as we have already explained, he is especially inclined towards those who always serve him without deviation. The Lord helps such devotees in various ways. As stated in the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 1.2.23, Yam evaisha vritnute tena labhyas, tasyaisa atma vritnute tanum svam. One who is fully surrendered and engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord can understand the Supreme Lord as he is, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Dhani Buddhiyogantam. The Lord gives such devotees sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain him in his spiritual kingdom. The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time or place. There should be no impediments. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan." As indicated by the words satatam and nishyasya, which means always, regularly, or every day, nityasa, excuse me, a pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon him. These are qualifications of the pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti yoga is the system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the bhakti yogis are engaged in five different ways. Shanta bhakta, engaged in devotional service and neutrality. Dasya bhakta, engaged in devotional service as a servant. Sakya bhakta, engaged as a friend. Vatsalya bhakta, engaged as a parent. And Madhurya bhakta, engaged as conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord, and so for him the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord even for a moment, and similarly the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee even for a moment. This is the great blessing of the Krishna consciousness process of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in considering Krishna consciousness as it is today, 2007, whatever date it happens to be, the 27th of August. 24th? No, 27th. Yogendra, you need a vacation. You thank your head and lost 3 days. So it is the 27th. Tomorrow is all on the 10th day, 28th. So the situation when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement was that everybody lived in the temple. And in many ways, we had quite a unique situation. I gave birth to 3 children in the temple. Well, actually 2 in the temple, 1 was in the hospital. But my youngest child, I gave birth to her at 9:45, and then the next morning I woke the baby in the morning, 4 o'clock. So life is interesting. You know, in many cases, we lived in one room kind of like this, divided by cloths hanging on wires that divided the room into several sections, and each devotee or family had a section. We had our own milk crate to put our clothes in. And when one joined the Hare Krishna movement, it was considered that you were surrendering. Mm. We had a closet, it was called a surrender closet. And whatever you didn't require anymore, which is pretty much everything you owned previously, you would put in the surrender closet. And if the bhakti leader was organized, they would be neatly folded into piles of socks, shirts, etc., etc. And if you ever needed anything for any reason, you would just go in the surrender closet and it would get it. Each of us was issued a piece of cloth. We used to buy cloth in bulk. It was cotton polyester broadcloth. Greatly resembled a bed sheet, which is why sometimes we got the reputation we were called that we were wearing bed sheets because we didn't have any saris or dhotis at that time. And so we used to buy this cloth, it was wrinkle-free, and stick as a board. And we bought it in four different colors. It was either pink, white, saffron, or yellow. And depending on your status, whether you were a grihastha or a brahmachari or not decided, you would wear one of those four colors. And the boys would get, you know, 4.5 meters, and the girls would get 6 meters, and we'd be happy, all of us dressed exactly the same. Even in marriages, we'd wear those same things, yellow, whatever. So we did that for a while until somebody discovered India and saris and dhotis, and then things changed a little bit after that. But it was a very interesting thing. You know, devotees were priests. I remember Lakshmi Srinivasa coming down. We had a temple at 55th Street in New York City. It was a very big temple right in the heart of the city. It was an 11-story building. And in the basement, we had a restaurant. And Lakshmi Srinivasa used to announce that if you want to preach, then please wear two same-colored socks. Because it's bad preaching if you wear one white sock and one blue sock. At least wear the same color sock. So we were in a different headspace in that day. We were kind of renounced already some of the general trends in the material world. We weren't really inclined to dress according to outside standards anyway. And so for us, these kinds of things were very normal. We didn't mind it. Everyone lived in the temple. Everyone lived in the temple. The householders lived in the temple. The brahmacharis lived in the temple. The brahmacharis lived in the temple. The children lived in the temple. We all lived in the temple. That was just the way it was. And we all got up at the same time, and we all went to the temple program. Prabhupada told us, unless you're dead, you should go to Mangalarati. So since we were alive, we all went to Mangalarati. And it was just accepted. No one discussed it. It wasn't, you know, anything that was debatable. We all woke up early in the morning, right at 4 o'clock, and go to the temple, and we would all chant together. We'd all eat together. We were young then, so we could digest pretty much anything. And we just ate whatever it was that was served, you know, khichdi and bread balls. We used to make these balls that were made out of chapati dough, but instead of rolling them out, they would just be rolled into a ball and then thrown into the oven. They'd come out, like if you threw someone, you'd have to wear a band-aid, like a gendakarul. And then they would put them in a plastic bag with butter and shake it, and that's how they would get butter balls. And it was all really, I don't know if it was the same everywhere, but we were. And then the Sunday feast would come, and we would eat, the non-devotees, the people who would come to get, they would, you know, either lay up their plates on the floor, and we would tell them, when you're finished eating, please don't pick up your plates, just leave them, because they were usually pieces of wax paper, and if you picked them up, it would be a big mess. So just leave them there, and we'll clean up after. But we would go and we would eat all the samosas, all the cores. We wouldn't leave anything to be wasted. We had a lot of faith in prasadam. Prasadam, Prabhu, we couldn't waste, especially because we were eating bread balls all week. When we saw sweet rice and samosas, we couldn't allow them to go to waste. But now times are different, right? We don't do those things anymore. We're much more conscious of our behavior. We're much more refined in our presentation of ourselves in many ways. And not hardly anybody lives in the temple. In this temple, no one lives in the temple because the structure is situated. There is no facility for living in the temple. Many of us find ourselves living outside. And having to work a job, regular job, and our children, we were just discussing a few minutes before this meeting about how to educate our children, what problems we face in trying to structure an educational institution which we will be able to manage over a long period of time and at the same time provide the education that we want for our children. So the challenges are slightly different, and in some ways they're much more difficult. Because it was easy when everybody was getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and going into the temple and there were, you know, 150, 200 devotees all at Mangalarati chanting and dancing ecstatically. And when the devotees would go out in Sankirtan, we had a little motto. We would go, bring them home alive. So the devotees would go out in Sankirtan with the intention that they were going to meet people and encourage them to come back to the temple and move in. The Sunday feast, we would encourage people to stay and remain with us, you know, at least for a week, and then we would gradually negotiate for a month, and then 2 months, and then forever. All we want is one lifetime. You can handle it, can't you? So, but now it's difficult, right? The temples can't support many families. Families have to support themselves, and in many cases support the temple. And this is, you know, this is a progression, actually, because at that time most of us were very young. There were very few families, no older children, mostly just very small children. And even then, very, very few, because we were children. We were 19, 20 years old. We were just ready to do whatever. We didn't have any encumbrances or responsibilities. But the difference, it's different now. And so here we have, in this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that for one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to obtain Krishna. That's the goal of human life. That's one thing that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed, that the goal of human life is to become Krishna conscious, to try and obtain Krishna's association by rendering loving service to him. And there are other things that haven't changed, too. The mission of Srila Prabhupada hasn't changed. That Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world to give Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible. And believe it or not, even in 2007, there are still many fallen conditioned souls out there. And many people who are lost, who are completely bewildered about how to find happiness in this life, in this world. And so that hasn't changed either. Right? It hasn't changed when there are people in the material world that are confused. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to find happiness. They're taking intoxication, engaging in illicit sex. They're eating the most abominable things. And they're running around like mad people, trying to find something that will give them just a little bit of happiness for a small amount of time. And it never works for very long. Right? And it's getting more and more expensive. Right? People are frustrated because they have to work harder and harder and harder to get the same pleasure. And the pleasure comes usually, you know, in some kind of electronic gadget, whereas kids used to play with small pieces of wood, now they have to have a computer. And, you know, instead of putting it together, just the wood that was laying around and, you know, building blocks, now it has to be fancy. It has to have propellers and wheels and little men and women. And, you know, they walk and talk and the signs pop up and down. You can use a credit card, swipe it at the bank, you know, in your game, and so many things. So life gets more expensive, more complicated, but the actual amount of happiness that's there, same amount. Kamala dala dala jivana kamala. Like the drop of water on the leaf of a lotus. The life is very, very flickering. It falls any second. It can just drop off. And the amount of happiness is very, very small, insignificant. And not only is it small, but it's not there in a few seconds. It's there 1 minute and gone the next. And people see that. They're frustrated. They're in anxiety. They don't know what to do. They're scared. So that hasn't changed. And Prabhupada's instruction to us, that also hasn't changed. Not only for ourselves, that we should become Krishna conscious, but also that we should make the world Krishna conscious. That was Prabhupada's desire. It was his mission. So those four things that haven't changed, that we have to become Krishna conscious, that the material world is the Kali on the Shashvatam, that there are people out there who want Krishna consciousness, and that Srila Prabhupada wants us to give it to them. Those four things still remain, even though we may not be living in the temple anymore, we may have graduated to wearing two the same colored socks, many of us are working, we're older, some of us are actually older people in this movement. Believe it or not, when I joined, there was no older people in this movement. So, but now there are older people, and there are younger people, there are lots of children. Sometimes, in Amvik, there's more children than there are adults. And soon to be even more children. So the ratio will be quite in favor of the youngest, of the infants. So things have changed in some ways, but they remain the same in the others. And the principles with which we live our life, or are meant to live our life, those are what has not changed. The details of our lives have changed, but the principles have not changed. And Prabhupada says in this purport that a devotee can execute his principle of Krishna consciousness. Looks like the chair is about to fall forward. Everybody lean back. One, two, three.
You have to lean back.
Yeah, I have to lean back. If you fall asleep, the chair will fall over. It's rigged. Can we have it set up so that if he falls asleep during the class, and the seat falls over and wakes you up? It keeps you awake. Padam padam yet is an invitation. Danger at every step. So anyway, knowing that now, that so then the challenge becomes to us not to sit and say, oh, but things are different now, but rather to figure out how we can do those things which we need to do in the situations where we are. We have to be innovative to understand within our lives, each of us, within our own lives, how we can apply the philosophy that Srila Prabhupada has given us, the teachings that Srila Prabhupada has given us, the mission that Srila Prabhupada has given us, the goals that Srila Prabhupada has given us, both individually and collectively, how we can achieve those things within the framework that we presently find ourselves. And actually, it makes us grow up faster because it puts the responsibility more on us. It used to be that it was on the temple. You know, the temple, someone would come around and ring the bell at 4 o'clock in the morning, still done in some places, and you just get up. But now you have to get yourself up. And the alarm clock goes off, and there's no one to tell you to get up. You can shut it off, and no one will get mad at you, right? You can go back to sleep. You can go to work. You have to go to work. Your boss will get mad at you if you don't go to work. And plus, your landlord will get mad at you because you won't be able to pay your rent or your mortgage. So then you have to go to work. So you work all day, and you have to do whatever you have to do. The stacks of papers have to move from here to there, and the phones have to be answered, and so many different things, whatever it is you have to do. And then you come home and you have to eat. How many of you have forgotten to eat in the recent past? No. You haven't eaten? Today. No. But generally you eat, isn't it? Sometimes. No. Otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So generally we don't forget to eat, we don't forget to sleep. Sometimes we get a little too busy and we push it aside, but basically we all go about our life eating a certain amount every day, sleeping a certain amount every day, working a certain amount every day. Because those things are kind of required in our lives. And then what happens is that the sadhana that we have, the chanting, the reading, the devotional activity, that kind of gets squished to the peripheral of our lives, to the side. Sometimes it falls off the edges even. It gets scrolls off the screen. So our responsibility as devotees is that we organize our lives in such a way that we can always remember Krishna. And knowing what we have to put in, we have to put in those things which are most urgent first, and then fit everything else in afterwards. So we have maybe 4 or 5 things that we have to organize. I don't know. God had me his light, so we don't go to light. So now the responsibility is ours. We're no longer children. We've achieved the independence that Krishna has given us in a very real way, in the sense that we're now personally responsible for our own spiritual life. And we have to be very, very serious about that, right? Just like we're very serious about paying our bills, because the government will, you know, or the bank or the electric company or the phone company will retaliate if we don't pay our bills, if we don't take care of business. And you know, if we don't put gas in our car will go on strike. It won't move anymore. But if we think about it, if we don't chant properly, and if we don't read regularly, and we don't practice Krishna conscious sadhana properly, we won't go back to Godhead. And that's pretty serious, don't you think? So, you know, we may get to work on time, but if we don't get to the spiritual world on time, then in our next life, we might not have to worry about work. We may just be, you know, scavenging around outside somewhere or something. Who knows what our situation will be next. Not only that, but as you look at the world, you can see that Kali Yuga is quickly coming, right? The material world is getting worse and worse. You can notice that. I certainly noticed that in the 59 years of my life, that the material world has definitely gone downhill considerably. I see heads nodding saying, yes, it is. I've noticed that. The pollution is worse, the air is getting worse, the weather is going crazy, and you know, people are going crazy. People are crazy. They're motivated by lust, anger, and greed more and more. It's described in the Bhagavatam Mandak Sumanda Mateo that they're lazy, they're misguided, they're unfortunate, they're easily quarrelsome, they quarrel over nothing, very quick to fight over nothing. So the material world is getting worse and worse. So we don't really want to hang around here. We want to get out, we want to go back to Godhead, and we want to be with Krishna in the spiritual world. So we tend to forget that sometimes, because the advertisements for other things, how to look, what to wear, what to eat, what to drink, where to go, what car to drive, those are all around us everywhere, all over the place, in your face, you see them everywhere. But the advertisement for going back to Godhead isn't there unless you open one of Prabhupada's books or you meditate on his teachings. And that's your work. No one out there is advertising that. You don't see on any billboard where it says, please go back to Godhead in this life, take up the process of chanting Hare Krishna and be happy. If you really want to, carry your beef bag, don't go without it, don't leave without it. Things go better with japa. You don't see those kind of advertisements anywhere, right? The kind of advertisements that you see are lies. They're cheating lies. The people are offering you, if you drink Coca-Cola, if you smoke a cigarette, you will become happy. Those are lies. Right? And they're all over the place. But the truth is hidden. The truth is not all over the place. It's only where the Prabhupada's books are. That's where the truth is. It's only where the Vaishnavas are. That's where the truth is. So that means that, first of all, for ourselves, we need to look for the truth. We need to remind ourselves every day. We need to put it in front of our face. We need to put it in our car. We need to put it on our mirror. We need to put it in our lives everywhere, so that we mold our lives, Prabhupada said, in such a way that we will never forget Krishna. Because otherwise, it's very easy to forget Krishna. You wake up, you walk outside, and you already can forget Krishna so easily. So easily, right? You're trying to chant your japa, your phone rings, you get on the phone, it's a problem, you go deal with the problem, you forget your rounds, you put your beads down, and you don't remember them until 10 o'clock at night. Then you wind up chanting your rounds while you're driving in the car, while you're shifting, while you're listening to your MP3 press play. I mean, it gets very, very difficult. So this is our responsibility now, that we're living in a very compromised position, a position which is very, very difficult for Vaishnavas. It's not the way we're supposed to live. Vaishnavas are not supposed to live like this. But we have to. We're in the material world. We're preaching. So just like in war, people live in very severe circumstances. They live in tents sometimes. The rations are in cans. That it's very cold or very hot, and they have to wear weird clothes that are painted funny, so they blend in with the trees or blend in with the snow. And they work inordinate hours that they're not really scheduled. All of a sudden bombs may come or guns may fire, and they have to be on call at any second. They have to be in very severe, extreme circumstances. So we're also at war. And because we're at war, we're not necessarily permitted to, just go and live peacefully in the forest and become Krishna conscious. That's not even our mission in this age. We're not supposed to seek peace in that way in this age. Prabhupada told us, work now, samadhi later. That, that we have a world to save. We have a planet to save. And we also have ourselves to save. And we have to live here in Stockholm and in so many other cities across the world, which require that we work very hard. So we have to work together, because we have each other, and everybody else doesn't really understand. They really don't understand. They don't understand that you have to chant your rounds. They don't understand that you have to hear transcendental sound vibration. They don't understand why you have to offer your food, and why you don't eat garlic and onions, and why you, only eat things that can be offered to Krishna, and why you wear that funny paint on your forehead. They don't understand any of those things. So for each of us, we understand, we know, and therefore we have to support each other. We have to help each other. We have to give each other strength and encouragement. And we can't fight amongst each other. We have to appreciate each other. Because Samahatma Siddhartha, these are great souls that are very rare, that have walked out of the material world, that have shut the door behind them to the idea of remaining perpetually looking for happiness in the material world. And they've taken up the process of Krishna consciousness. And if they're not perfect, that's okay. Perfection is on the way. Prabhupada used to say, if you're in the shower, you can't be criticized for being dirty, because you're in the shower. So we're all in the shower. We're trying to get clean. And we're there together. We're packed up tight. And if we support each other and help each other, then we can survive in this atmosphere. And we can also impress others to become Krishna conscious. On the other hand, if we don't support each other, then each of us struggles alone out there. It's very, very difficult. It's very difficult. So Prabhupada has created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he says in many places, in Sri Upanishad, in Upadeshamrita, in the Bhagavatam, he says that he created that this movement so that devotees could have the association of other devotees. But now that's again our responsibility, right? Before we all lived in the temple together, but now we don't live. We have to come to get the association of devotees. We have to create sangha. We have to create times when we come together and we read and we chant, because otherwise it's no longer just part of our lives unless we make it part of our lives. So it's time to grow up and take that responsibility upon ourselves. If we don't get together and do these things and support each other and remind each other what our mission is, then it will be very, very difficult for us to survive. We may find a comfortable place. It may seem like we're okay, and you know, I'm chanting my rounds in the morning or in the afternoon or while I'm driving or in between this and that, and I'm offering my food most of the time, and I'm okay. But you're not okay, because the material world is like little drops of water. They wear away a stone. And without the association of devotees, you become weak and you become confused, and the quality of your chanting disappears. If you think about it, we all chant japa rounds. We say, how many rounds do you chant, right? To get initiated, you need to chant 16 rounds. But if you think about rounds are made up of mantras, right? Each round is 108 mantras. So if you chant a 16 rounds, that's about 27,900 names of Krishna. So maybe instead of asking how many rounds did you chant, you might try asking how many names did you hear? How many names did you hear today? Of those 27,900 names of Krishna, Hare Krishna Rama, that you chanted, how many names did you hear? Because when you ask yourself that question, then the poignancy of how you chant your japa smacks you right in the face. Right? That each round we chant is 1,600 plus names of Krishna. So take your japa one name at a time, or one mantra at a time, and see how many names of Krishna you actually hear. Not how many rounds you get done. I got my rounds done. Did you get your rounds done? Yeah, I got my rounds done. How many rounds are you chanting? I'm chanting 16. I'm chanting 4. But that's not, the goal of our life is not to get our rounds done. The goal of our life is to hear the holy name of Krishna, to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His name, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purnak Shudho Nitya Mukta Bhinatvam, Nama Namino. That Krishna and His name, Nama Namino, the name and the owner of the name, they're non-different. And so by chanting Krishna's name and meditating on the sound vibration, we actually come to connect with Krishna. We get His association. And when we get Krishna's association, to know Him is to love Him, then we develop a loving relationship with Krishna and we get strength. Krishna says that one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain. He's easy to obtain if we remember Him without deviation. How do we remember Him? Most of us remember Him by chanting His holy name. But we have to hear and we have to chant carefully. So if you can take the time to chant your rounds meticulously, don't just get them done, but chant them meticulously, listen to each name of the Hare Krishna mantra. Each name. Actually, even each syllable. 32 syllables. There's one prayer that says that you can't tell how much nectar is even in the two syllables of the name Krishna. Right? So it's not even just the name, it's the syllables even. So then we have 32 syllables. I didn't figure out that mathematically, so I can't tell you how many syllables there are. But I know how many names there are because I figured it out. So there's a lot. We have the opportunity again and again and again through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, 27,900 some odd times a day, to hear Krishna in His name, to hear Ram in His name, to hear Hare in His name. And when we listen to that sound vibration, then we don't have enough ears. We don't have enough tongue. to really relish that sound vibration, and we get to know Krishna, we become fortified and strengthened, and then we can go out and work and deal with the material world and pay our bills and take care of our kids and go to the school and go to the office and cook for our husband and God knows what else we have to do, da 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 da. But if we don't hear those names, if we don't chant our rounds, if we don't wake up early, if we don't read and we don't keep the mission of Srila Prabhupada in front of us, then we become very weak. And we become prey. We become easily confused that the goal of human life is something else. The goal of human life is to make money or to look good or to be rich or to be famous or to have a good whatever. And we become lost. So if we're not going to lose ourselves in this material world, if we're actually going to get back to Godhead, we have to hold hands. We have to stay together, strong. And we have to chant Krishna's name with determination. Prabhupada said, if you chanting in New York, or I'm chanting in San Francisco, then we'll be packed up tight together. So even today, Prabhupada is in the spiritual world chanting Hare Krishna, and we can be very close to Srila Prabhupada and the mission of Srila Prabhupada. If we take our japa seriously, our chanting seriously, we take our lives seriously, our reading, our mission, our preaching seriously, then we can become very perfected in this life and very strong together as devotees of Krishna. We become a very powerful force. Srila Prabhupada heard once that there was a senator in America who had mentioned that he was worried about the Hare Krishnas because if they kept getting so strong, they were going to take over the government in America. And Prabhupada loved that statement. He always used to tell it to people. He was so happy that someone thought that we were a threat, that we could actually take over the world. So, but we can't take over the world, even in a spiritual sense. Who wants the government anyway? It's such a mess. But we can spiritually enliven the world, spiritually infuse the world, if we are spiritually infused. Because that energy is so powerful that with Krishna behind us, there's nothing we can't do. And by ourselves, we really can't do anything. There's a prayer sometimes we chant. I chant it before I give class usually. It's Mukam Karati Vachalam Pangam Langayate Kirin Yat Kripa Twamaham Vande Sri Guru Vinatanam. And it means that by the mercy of the spiritual master, sometimes we say Sri Chaitanya, by his mercy, then we can, the blind man can see, the lame man can climb mountains, and the person who can't speak, the dumb man, can write eloquent poetry. Can speak eloquent poetry. So by Krishna's mercy, even the Christians, they also say, right, the faith can move mountains. So we can actually move mountains. We can change the face of the earth if we all become strong in our Krishna consciousness. So it requires a commitment to work together and to work individually. And I encourage you very much to take that process very seriously, especially chanting and hearing the holy name of Krishna. That's the key of our Krishna consciousness movement. So thank you very much. I'll stop there. And if there's any questions, I'll try to answer. Yes?
Yes. When you're talking, very good. But many things you're telling, my future master, he said almost the same.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, very much.
I'm glad we agree.
And I'm very happy to hear you.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
This is not a question. In 16 rounds, there are 55,296 syllables.
Syllables, thank you very much. I'll try and remember that. 55,296 syllables, thank you. Okay, so that's your goal now, to try and hear 55,290 syllables a day. Because generally, if you think about it, chant around and then try and think, how many mantras did I hear? How many mantras did I hear? And usually the answer is not very many. Unfortunately, it's true, right? My friend, I have a friend named Brahmatirtha. Perhaps you know he was the person who asked the perfect questions that Srila Prabhupada gave the perfect answers to. So that book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. He was just in Slovenia with me, but he lives in America. And he was once giving a Bhagavatam class. He's very funny, Brahmatirtha. Likes to joke. So he was giving a class on chanting holy name, and he said, you know, at the moment of death, whatever you think of, through, or you've been thinking of throughout your life, you'll attain that. And if you think of Krishna and Rama, then at the end of your life you will see Krishna and Rama. So one person left their body and they were dying, and they saw these two ghastly creatures coming. And they said, wait a minute, all my life I've been chanting, why are you coming? Why isn't Krishna and Rama coming? She said, well, I'm Schnick and I'm blah, blah. So if we're chanting Schnick and we're not chanting Krishna, then we're going to meet somebody who's not Krishna. It's not going to be blue boy playing a flute. It's going to be somebody else. If we want to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we have to chant his name, which is Krishna. So we have to say Krishna and Hare and Rama. And we have to say. And one thing also you should know is that Rama is a two-syllable word. So if we're going to chant all those 1,290 syllables, then we have to say Rama. In the Hindi language, there very often the A is cut off the end of words. So Indians very often will say Ram, but it's actually Rama. In Sanskrit, the A is pronounced. And so it's Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And if you chant like that, then you'll chant 55,290 syllables of the Hare Krishna mantra.
96,
sorry. Any other questions? Yes, Ma.
I wonder about the connection of with Krishna and the machine others. Because you were mentioning it in the beginning, and I thought it's one of the intimate kind of.
Nishrinadev is a incarnation of Krishna, and he appeared for a specific purpose. There was a devotee named Prahlad. Perhaps you know the story. Prahlad. Anyway, there was a young boy. He was only 5 years old. And he was born into a family where his father was very atheistic and very abusive. Okay, so he was trying to kill his son because his son was a devotee of Krishna. And this particular father, he had a benediction which made it very difficult to kill him. He was in a situation where he was invincible in many ways. He couldn't be killed by any weapon, he couldn't be killed on the land or the sea, he couldn't be killed by any man or any demigod. And because or in the day or in the night. And because he had those benedictions, it was very difficult to kill him. So Krishna appeared as Nrsimhadev, who was half lion and half man. And he killed him on his lap, which wasn't the land and wasn't the sea. And he killed him with his nails, which wasn't a weapon. And he killed him at dusk, which wasn't the day or wasn't the night. And because he was watching Nrsimhadev, Nrsimhadev was watching Prahlad's total faith that Krishna would protect him, and becoming more and more enraged about how his father was treating this child, he actually appeared out of a pillar to protect Prahlad Maharaj. So very often the devotees also praise Nrsimhadev for protection, that because Nrsimhadev represents the anger of Krishna when Krishna sees his devotee being mistreated. So we take shelter of Nrsimhadev. He's over there on the wall behind me in the picture with Prahlad on his lap. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Okay, then we'll end there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All good. Shiva Prabhupada.